Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you've caught up your money. That's how you find out who's best.
All my bets were safe. There just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets.
Welcome into the latest Behind the Bets podcast. Just one final podcast involving college football of the season. We're obviously going to talk a lot of NFL coming up with John Murray and Matt Eumanns of VSiN, and so we'll talk about NFL playoff weekend, recapping last week, look ahead to this weekend. Also, the national championship game. Travis, are you okay? Do you have to leave the room when we discuss Clemson playing LSU?
Well, to make matters worse, look at the TV on your left.
Oh, I'm watching it.
Yeah, it's for those that obviously are listening can't see, the TV of the Ohio State Clemson game is on. So, yeah, you want to talk NFL?
We will. We're going to do... How about at the end we'll do college and then you can excuse yourself? Does that work
yeah,
for you?
Yeah, that would make me feel
better. Because it's not a best of five or best of seven. It was a one game and Clemson did in fact score more points than Ohio State.
See, like I was over it. Like I was good this morning. I came in and then it just like it's just the wound that just keeps getting opened
up. Well, look, Ohio State's up 10-0.
Yeah, thanks.
They might hold on here.
Spoiler alert, 16-0. It doesn't end well,
folks. They might hang on here.
Go for it, Ryan Day.
All right, man, so we'll get into that, and we're going to discuss it on the pod here coming up, but Travis, it's rare that I really like a play in a big game, like a championship game. In the finals, I've gotten involved, NBA finals, but Super Bowl and like college, I always have to like not force a pick, but like at least give my lean and then maybe love a prop. Last year, I talked about the 100-1 prop that hit for the Super Bowl. I like the over in this Clemson LSU game. So we'll dive deeper into that and we'll recap a little bonanza. I've narrowed the gap a little bit. So it's a new ball game. It's a new ball game. Let's get going.
He started as a ticket writer.
Well, the handle has gotten a lot higher here in the last hour.
Now he's a race and sportsbook director.
I have the guys at work here calling me Mr. Director and not looking directly into my eyes.
With people.
Brought in a whole new staff this year. It's kind of a Seinfeld-esque move where we just rotate the guys so the material doesn't get stale, Doug.
What happened in between? A hot tub and ESPN.
Kicking is for losers.
Oh, boy. The playoffs arrive and still they have not learned. How are you, Mr. Executive Director?
I'm good. I could argue that the biggest loser kicking-wise last weekend was Bill Belichick himself.
Ooh, we will certainly get into that. I love how a few people on Twitter like to challenge us, like, will you criticize the almighty Bill Belichick when a kicking is for losers moment happens? And that's the ultimate test, because we obviously don't just drink the Kool-Aid. We chug it for Belichick. But there are some questionable decisions.
Pretty good reason, I think. I think Belichick's earned a little bit of rope with the 6 Super Bowl titles, no?
Yeah, no, we... We did discuss that last week. So first of all, overall, big weekend for the books, right?
We did very well on the two middle games. Everybody bet Minnesota money. New Orleans money line or New England money line. Excuse me. Having both of those teams lose outright, it just killed every parlay. Every money line parlay got killed. So we did really well there. Did very poorly on the Seattle game. You can imagine Seattle was the most lopsided game of the week in terms of ticket count. And then Houston winning by exactly 3 was worst-case scenario because there was so much money on the Texans or Texans' money line. And then the sharper guys earlier in the week had bet Buffalo plus 3. They got a push, and then the Buffalo teaser players carried it to the next game. So Houston by exactly 3 was the worst-case scenario.
So how much teaser action is there? Because we were talking about, and we'll touch on it when we talk about next week's games, but the teaser volume isn't really that heavy, is it?
Well, it's nothing compared to the Moneyline parlay volume. I mean, it's not even close. Moneyline parlays are really almost everything nowadays, at least in our sports book. It all comes down to getting one of those favorites knocked out and collecting all that Moneyline parlay money. And this week we got 2 of them.
And then did you have a lot of people late on the -2.5?
On Houston? Yeah, for sure they did. Houston -2.5 was a pretty popular bet. And like I said, all the sharp guys that bet Buffalo, they had 3. So you just get sided on a game like that.
Yeah, I had a feeling that was the case. And it obviously took a lot to get there when it was 16-0 Buffalo. and then just numerous questionable decisions. I lost count. I mean, whether it be the fourth and a mile, not punting, the questionable flags with the blindside block that never really occurred.
Well, that call was brutal. That blindside block call was a joke. It just shows you what a fine line it is because, you know, Allen had played so poorly in the second half after a brilliant first half. If they had just not called that blindside block and Steve Hauschka had made, admittedly, a very long field goal to win the game, Allen would have been a hero because he would have led the field goal drive at the end of regulation and got them into field goal range in overtime with that ridiculous throw to Devin Singletary. One long field goal from Hauschka there, Allen's the hero. Instead, he's the GOAT. That's how fine of a line it is in the NFL.
A lot of questionable decisions. I like the lateral play.
Oh, God.
A la Reggie Bush in the national championship.
There's no excusing that one. It was such a great play, too. It was the first play of that drive. He runs for, I want to say, 20-some yards. Just go down. There's still a minute left in the game. You're at midfield. And he tries to lateral it to a tight end that has no idea the ball is coming. You got to take the good with the bad, I guess, sometimes. That was very bad.
Yeah, it was very Reggie Bush-esque. So we go to the night game, and the Patriots look strong to start, settle for a field goal. Titans go down third and long around in the red zone, touchdown. Tennessee leads 7-3, but then Patriots respond, and then the goal line issues.
Well, New England was up 10-7, and they had a first and goal at the one. Is that right?
I believe that was one or two.
And they settled for the field goal. Oh, man, I mean that. Right there, you're talking about a much different game, obviously. They punched that thing in there. I think we're talking about New England and Kansas City this weekend.
Right, but when they lose yards, I think I'm okay with the fourth down field goal because it's the end of the half and you don't have the added bonus of pinning them and with the chance of getting the ball back and getting a touchdown.
Well, I thought the worst kicking decision to me was punting it back to Tennessee in the fourth quarter, and then they basically never got the ball back after that. I mean, I know that they did with 15 seconds left at their own one-yard line. But they never really had another possession.
Yeah, I had a big problem with that as well. I think your defense is good, but they have Henry and Tannehill was capable of making a throw. It was fourth and like four, I want to say. By the way, we don't talk about Edelman drop on third down we all want to write off the Patriots and bury him, but it could have very easily been a different game if Edelman, who I heard on the radio, led the NFL in drops this year.
Yeah, Edelman makes that catch. That is shocking. But, you know, Edelman makes that catch, or they punch it in on that aforementioned first and goal situation, and New England very likely wins that game. So, certainly, it's a very fine line in the NFL, like I said. And I think it's a little extreme to just bury the Patriots forever based on one very close loss.
And I will say the game plays out a lot differently in the second half. Tennessee's trailing versus winning. I mean, Vrabel's decision to punt was basically like, I don't trust your offense. On that fourth and one, when he punted, he's like, I don't trust your offense. I trust my defense more that you guys can't get to field goal range. And he was right.
Well, it's hard to trust New England's offense. The New England offense that we watched, it'd be difficult to believe they're capable of anything.
So let's go to Sunday's games. And you guys obviously win when the Saints are unable to win.
Yeah.
Obviously a couple swing plays there. Sure. You know, we question some of Belichick's decision-making. We obviously should question some of Sean Payton's handling in the final minutes of regulation. Just not calling the timeout at 2:30, completely botching that.
Yeah, it is interesting to see not only New England and New Orleans both lose, but they both lost in a lot of ways because of the decisions made by their very respected head coaches and because of poor play from their future Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Breeze fumbling that ball when I think they were down by three. Said it was his first lost fumble of the year. And just Breeze struggles in general throughout that game, in addition to the coaching mistakes from Sean Payton.
Yeah, the line felt really high. I got cute in the bonanza, got too cute in the bonanza trying to do the teaser. But it felt like too big of a line all week. I mean, we just can't overreact. And these coaches get too conservative in the playoffs. All four games went under. I think only two halves went over. So 6-2 halves. To the under, all four games went under. I mean, these teams just get so conservative, although throw out a little bit of the Eagles game just because of the McCown situation. But these
everybody gets conservative everybody gets conservative except for Sean McDermott, who goes for it on 4th and 27 for God only knows what reason.
Let's talk about that Seattle game, because the line came down, but you guys were heavy on the Seahawks, even though the line came down.
Well, just classic reverse line movement. The public's betting Seattle like crazy, but the sharp guys were all over Philadelphia. And that's why you see the line go from Philly plus 2.5. We closed Philly minus 1. The quarterback gets knocked out in the first quarter of the game. There's nothing you can do about it. So that's just gambling for you. I mean, the wise guys were all over the Eagles. We needed the Eagles huge, and Wentz gets knocked out of the game in the first quarter, and that's that.
So the line came down based on sharp money, but not
not
volume, right? Volume was on the Seahawks.
No, the volume. Seattle was our most lopsided takeout of the weekend by far. Everybody was on the Seahawks. But, I mean, we're not really that upset about it. We had a very good weekend overall.
Right.
It was just a situation where, you know, we needed Philadelphia in the last game. I saw Wentz get knocked out of the game, and it felt like we're probably not going to get this one.
Now, do you adjust the live wagering lines accordingly when it's skewed? You don't use, like, the original game in your algorithm?
No, you've got to at some point make the. I mean, you're tracking on Twitter to see if it looks like this guy's going to come back in, and then certainly you're factoring in a McCown at quarterback versus Wentz. There's really no way to game plan for it before the game starts, but obviously you've got to adjust on the fly there.
Yeah, I mean, the second half line was adjusted because it was a 7-point game.
Yeah.
Seattle had the lead, and then the minus 1 for Seattle second half to make it 8. That would not have been the case if Wentz were in. It would have been like 3.5.
No, of course not. And really, if you think about it, McCown played fairly admirably, I thought, in that game. Not only were they down to a backup quarterback, but whoever was the quarterback was dealing with all kinds of injuries on the offensive side of the ball anyway. So Philadelphia just didn't have the horses to beat Seattle on Sunday.
Okay. So that we now have to turn the page.
Nobody has ever bet enough on a winning horse.
And with Bob Lee's voice, we segue to this weekend. So here we are, and this is usually the weekend. So the dogs barked a lot last week. This is usually the time where it's a lot to ask these teams to continue to go on the road and win. Like, it's a tough turnaround for the Vikings. I like the Niners in a teaser. I'm probably like a minus 7, especially we got to keep an eye on Thielen's ankle injury left yesterday. But this line's come fluctuate a little bit, right?
Well, historically speaking, the value and the sharp sides and the divisional round have always been the favorites because everybody watched these wild card teams win last week, and everybody's actually looking to bet on these wild card teams they just saw win. Maybe they've forgotten how good these teams that have been sitting at home on the bye week are. And we're seeing that a little bit in the Seattle game where the public is on the Seahawks here at this book. This Vikings 49ers game, though, it's pretty split. There isn't really a lopsided take count either way here. We did have one group we respect that played San Francisco minus 7 even money yesterday afternoon for $30,000.
Wow. Is that what the thought of? Do you think it goes above 7?
I don't know, because when we ended up going to 720, and then they immediately saw money come in on Minnesota. So I think it's possible if this was the last game of the weekend, you'd see it go above 7. But because this is going to be the one kicking off all the parlays, I don't know that that's going to happen. You know, there's a lot of support for Minnesota, too. And there's not going to be the panic from the books seeing their liability when it's the first game of the week.
Yeah, I mean, that's the tough thing, because the Vikings are really, like, good on paper, right? They have two stud receivers, a quarterback capable of lighting it up, Dalvin Cook, and then a solid D. Like, if there's a team that's going to make a run, this team is built accordingly.
There's a lot to like there. I just don't know how much I trust Kirk Cousins. And I know he made a few good throws on Sunday, but I don't know how much I trust him in this spot. But at the same time, you don't really know what you're going to get from San Francisco. Jimmy G's first playoff game, Kyle Shanahan's first playoff game as a head coach. There's a lot of unknowns here.
Right. And that's why the line's 7. And the Niners are getting healthy. That's what I like the most about this team. And that's intriguing. We go to the Ravens. You talk about a team, you know, forgetting how great teams are, right? This is a team that had a bye week last week. Week 17 rested Lamar Jackson and some other guys. So, are we too caught up in the Titans? The funny thing is the Titans beat up on a lot of bad teams in this stretch, right? And here they go into New England, and now it's like, oh, maybe they are good. I like the Ravens. I think the Titans aren't necessarily built to kind of hang with a team like the Ravens that can score? I mean, they're going to have to, like, lead and then lean on Henry. I don't know if that happens.
Well, the ticket count is actually there's more money on Tennessee than or more tickets on Tennessee than Baltimore. If you just look at straight bets, it's almost 2-1 on the Titans. The thing is that we're already seeing an accumulation of money line parlay action of Baltimore. So when this game kicks off, we're going to need the Titans pretty big. But the public is definitely betting on Tennessee in the straight bet column. And that's not surprising. They just saw them beat New England, and Baltimore hasn't played a real game in 3 weeks, so it's kind of an out-of-sight, out-of-mind thing.
So you are saying there's a bat signal maybe coming?
No, I wouldn't go that far. I mean, I just know that because we're definitely going to need the Titans in this game just because of all the money line action of Baltimore. All the money line parlays we see this week, some of them will include the 49ers, some of them will include LSU, a lot of them will include Kansas City, but they'll all include Baltimore.
I'm just saying, a Niners-Ravens money line parlay is like minus 160. That could be a nice Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's going to be a very common bet, but I think the more common bet's going to be Ravens to the Chiefs. That'll be the really, really common one that would – everyone's going to have those two teams in their parlays.
Let's go to that game because we did a little would you rather on Daily Wager yesterday. Would you rather lay the Ravens or the Chiefs minus 10? Now, I know there's some 9.5s and all.
Yeah.
I think the consensus was Ravens just because – like I personally was the Ravens just because I don't trust the Chiefs' defense.
Mm-hmm.
Like backdoor covers, but even like, you know, Kansas City has looked great the last month or so, but there are those stretches where like if, you know, there's a bad, if Mahomes doesn't make a miracle play, they have to punt and then the defense can't get the ball back. Like, I just trust the Ravens more.
I'd be more comfortable with Baltimore because I don't think that Mahomes is 100%. And Deshaun Watson is just such a magician. He just scares me a little bit. I mean, the stuff that guy can do, he's a really special player.
He really is. I mean, he's really awesome. Like, we forget what he did in college, right?
Yeah.
Won the national championship, was just a stud, dominated Alabama offensively, you know, the offense did. And then what he's done in the pros, right? He was an MVP candidate when he first was a starter and then got hurt. Then needed the year, obviously, break, and then this year he's been exceptional. So he is the star.
Buffalo is such a good team defensively, and they're so well coached. I don't know what the hell McDermott was thinking on that 4th and 27, but the bottom line is Buffalo is a very well coached, very drilled team with really good defense, and Watson was still able to make the plays to lead them on that comeback and get the win. So I think Watson makes the Texans a little bit more dangerous than Tennessee is here.
Well said. Well said. And I think Derrick Henry is going to be neutralized to a certain extent. He's also had 3 straight games, just a million carries. At some point, he can't be doing that.
And also, the one thing I will say, though, is I trust Vrabel a lot more than I trust Bill O'Brien. I trust almost everybody more than Bill O'Brien. So.
Right. But I also trust Harbaugh more than I trust Andy Reid.
True. So do I.
All right, the weekend wraps up with Seattle and Green Bay. At some point, Green Bay is going to be a cheap price, right? Like, I don't think they're going to prevail in the NFC. I just don't think they're that good compared to the Niners. But at some point, like, they're the pack at home, off a bye. 4 looks really tempting.
Yeah, we saw the same group that bet San Francisco -7 even. They bet Green Bay -4 for 30,000 yesterday. The public is going to be on Seattle here. The thing is that since this is the 4th game of the weekend, if all 3 favorites win the first 3 games, you're going to see so much money line action rolling to Green Bay on Sunday night. So you might even see this line go higher. And those guys that laid the 4, usually the market moves with them. So if you're looking to bet Seattle, I'd probably advise waiting, especially if you think the favorites are going to take care of business in the earlier games.
And if they don't, let's just say there is an upset, like let's say Vikings win. You think the Packers line will hold firm at 4?
I think it'll hold firm. I mean, the lowest maybe 3.5. You're not going to get a 3 in this game.
No.
So I think it'll stay right around this 4 range.
It is funny that the Rodgers is kind of not getting that much respect.
No, he's really not. No one's really talking about Green Bay at all. Green Bay got such a huge break.
With
New Orleans being knocked out for them.
Yeah.
Because they would have been a small dog here at home in that game, Green Bay, I mean. So a monster break for the Packers, and really a break for the 49ers too, because New Orleans was the team that we had as the highest power-rated team in the conference. I realized that they lost on Sunday in a one-game scenario, but that doesn't mean we didn't have them as the highest power-rated team overall in the NFC. So a big break for both of the teams sitting at home on their bye week that the Saints are out of this thing.
So you had the Saints higher power rated than the Niners?
But I mean, we're splitting hairs here.
But how were the Niners favored at New Orleans a month ago?
That game was weeks ago. I'm talking about right now.
Right. So what changed? The injuries to San Fran's defense?
I don't think Niners have been that impressive down the stretch. I mean, the only reason they even have a bye week is because the NFL completely botched that last play against Seattle.
Yeah, that's a fact.
And the injuries to the injuries that you just mentioned would be the other. I mean, we're splitting hairs here. I'm not saying that New Orleans would have been a big favorite over the 49ers. I'm saying we had New Orleans a little bit ahead of San Francisco and a pretty good amount ahead of Green Bay. And it's a big break for both of these teams that New Orleans is out.
More from Murray in a little bit, but first, a word from one of our sponsors. The second week of the playoffs is upon us. The bad news is that there's only a few more weeks left in the football season. But the good news is you can still get your fantasy fix with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy football. And if you've never played before, there's even more to celebrate. You can play for $1 million top prize this weekend. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every run, throw, and catch mean more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. It's simple. Just draft your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Nothing adds to the sweat of watching the game quite like having a shot at the $1 million top prize. Plus, all new and existing users can get a deposit bonus up to $500. That's some extra cash to play with throughout the playoffs. With only the best football teams left, there's no better time to be playing. Download the DraftKings app now and use code Doug. For a limited time, both new and existing users can get a deposit bonus up to $500 on your next deposit. Remember, that's code Doug, and you can get a deposit bonus up to $500 only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Deposit bonus requires a 25x playthrough. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
All right, my man. Well, I don't have a ton of plays. I talked about it, maybe the money list, but you know it is the bonanza, so let's get into it.
Sure.
It's time for Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
Okay. The gap is narrowing. You have a $450 lead on me. I like phrasing it that way.
Yeah, that's one way to put it. The other way to put it would be you're doing $450 worse than I'm doing. That'd be option B, right?
I was looking back.
The only thing I really liked last week was Philadelphia. I can't I got nothing really more to say than that.
You know, I liked the Bills a lot in the teaser. They still, this entire year, they only had one game where they did not lose. They lost more than seven. And the Saints were the obvious choice to couple it with, but it got me. It got me. So I don't really
You can't. No one can fault you for doing a Saints teaser. I mean, that was the classic teaser scenario.
Well, it is what it is. I just know, just personally, I didn't go heavy on it, so... Mm-hmm. I didn't love it, but you're right. When you only have four options, that was your best play.
Yeah, what are you going to do there? And that fumble by Breeze, there was the Dalvin Cook play where his knee was down.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
But New Orleans had a lot of opportunities to win that game.
Well, I just think the mismanagement, forget the fumble, just the mismanagement. You get a timeout at 2:30, then you can actually go for the touchdown at the end of regulation.
Sure.
And it was disappointing. But... that's, like you said, a one-game situation. So here we go this weekend. Murray, you're still on the tee box, even though you lost the Eagles. I lost my teaser.
Well, all I got this week is the Prince of Props, one of my great friends. He texted me last night. He was all worked up, and he gave me two plays, unsolicited. I didn't even reach out to him. So I'm just going to give those two plays. I'll do them each for a dime, and then I'm going to sit on the sidelines until the conference championship games, if that's okay with you.
Oh, that's fine with me. I'm only going to have one play.
this weekend.
Okay, good. I really, I'll tell you the truth, I don't really like anything this weekend. I mean, if I had to bet something, I really don't like anything. I maybe Green Bay because I just think Seattle is so overrated, but I don't like Green Bay either. So I'm going to just give you these two plays. Under 4.5 sacks, that's in the Baltimore Tennessee game. That's even money.
Okay.
The other one's Tyler Lockett under 65.5 yards. Ooh. That's, of course, -110. So we can do both of those for 1,000.
I don't know if I agree with you with the Lockett. I think that guy is a machine.
He's good, but it seems like they're going to that Metcalf, DK Metcalf more and more. And I think it's funny watching DK Metcalf and A.J. Brown play and thinking about the fact that they were college teammates last year and wondering what the Ole Miss coaching staff was doing with those two individuals last year.
Yeah, they were not very good. Remember, we had a big Egg Bowl play last year.
Those guys are awesome. Where that? I mean, it's not like clearly Ole Miss had talent. That's for sure.
Well, I mean, quarterbacking is important. Talent.
Quarterback's important, but you get two guys like that, you should be able to move the football. Yeah,
that's a fact. Okay, I have one play. I mentioned it. I'm going to do the money line parlay and just see what happens. Maybe a Twitter play for Sunday. I just think these numbers are tight, and we'll do a dime to win a dime on that money line parlay. I had -163 last night when I was looking at it on the show. So, you know, would 163 work?
That works for me.
I don't feel like bringing out the parlay calculator right now.
We don't need to split hairs too much. What are you doing?
For a dime. To win a dime. So full disclosure, I don't have a computer functioning right now. We just have the board with all the drops. What were you asking? What am I doing? What?
Figured with you ESPN guys, you'd have all kinds of gadgets at your disposal.
Yeah, I have three laptops, just not with me.
I gotcha. Well, what are you doing on Monday? You plan anything on?
I actually, we're going to talk about it with Matt Humans in a little bit. I want to get your that's a perfect segue. But I actually rarely, you know, it's rare that I love a big game like that, the Super Bowl or the Champions. I actually really, really, really like the over.
Yeah, I got asked that question this morning by one of the gentlemen from the Action Network about the total, and I said, you know, I really haven't seen much handle on that, but. I was talking to your colleague, David Purdom, this morning. He asked me, why did we go to 6 on LSU? And I said I wanted to make sure that the Clemson button was working. I wanted to see if we could write a bet on Clemson. It's not an exaggeration to say that if Clemson wins this game outright, it's going to be as big of a win as we've ever had at this sports book. Probably the biggest win we've ever had on a non-Super Bowl or non-Mayweather-McGregor fight, that legendary Mayweather-McGregor thing. It would be massive for us. We win a ton on Clemson in the future book, and we win a ton on Clemson in the game pool. And I have a feeling that we're just going to write more LSU money as we get closer to Monday. So we're going to need Clemson in a big way on Monday night.
Well, that's what's so funny. So today on radio, driving around, I heard show the champs some respect when they were talking about the line going up to 6.5 at some shops. And my counter to that is you're welcome to go bet Clemson.
Well, yeah.
Respect. The market, the bettors are driving the market. Like, you guys aren't trying to, like, it's not like everyone's betting Clemson, you won't move the number off 6.5. Like, or 6, you know, it's literally everyone is welcome to, if you think it's so disrespectful and so crazy, go bet Clemson. Like, it's.
Well, exactly. I hear that all the time, too. It's like, oh, you guys are way off with this or that. And it's like, well, we're open. So come on in, and we'll accept a wager from you. I'm not saying we're going to let you bet $1 billion on it. I'm just saying we will accept a wager from you. We could use a Clemson bet right now, Doug.
And they were saying the same thing about LSU line with Oklahoma when it was 14, 13.5. Oh, this is way too high. Really? Was it?
Well, that number did crash offshore before kickoff, obviously incorrectly, but I wouldn't be surprised to see this number come down a little bit at kickoff, this Clemson-LSU number, because I do think it's too high.
Well, my analysis is that I throw out the Fiesta Bowl. I thought the field was a joke. Players were slipping and sliding, and honestly, they had to, like, change how they were running. Like, it was after both teams were slipping, they had to kind of, like, do gradual pivots and stuff, and you compare that, it was so distinct compared to earlier in the day. In the Dome Stadium in Atlanta, that how different the players were moving around. I just think we're going to see a fast track and both teams go up and down. And I think LSU's defense is susceptible to points by good teams. And I think Clemson's going to eat enough. And I think both teams hit mid-30s, and I think that's an over.
Yeah, I could see all that happening for sure, and certainly you got to expect Burrow is going to put up some big numbers. We already did take one bet I can tell you about. We took 5,000 on over 37.5 points for LSU in that game.
I like that. So I like it all. I mean, I just think these quarterbacks are awesome, and these receivers are so awesome. And Edwards-Helaire is going to be healthier, and I just don't think there's any stopping LSU, and I don't think they're going to bleed the clock. I don't think they're going to be able to, because I think Clemson's going to answer. And all these cheap bubble screens, all this stuff around the line of scrimmage just wasn't working against Ohio State. I don't think Dabo is going to make that same mistake again. I think they're going to have to throw downfield like they did, and obviously Higgins was hurt. I just think it's going to be a cleaner offensive game by Clemson.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, Ohio State's very, very good defensively. I think maybe some people might lose track of just how good that Ohio State team was.
Yes.
When they evaluate, like, oh, Clemson struggled in the semifinal. Well, they were playing Ohio State. LSU basically had a bye against Oklahoma. That Ohio State team might be the best team we've seen in the Big Ten in the last decade.
Yeah, Barry Alvarez really said as much. He said it's the best one he's ever seen. And look, yeah, I'm just glad. So, usually I'm like firing harder on like an NBA game or something on the day of these championship games. I'm just glad that my big bet for that day, for now, is actually going to be on the over or on that game, because I'll get involved live usually in the Super Bowl and things like that, or maybe a big prop. But, you know, I have to do these picks for polls and stuff like that. I'm going to be in the Review Journal with a pick and some other places, obviously .com. And it's always like, oh, fine, I'll make a pick. But it's like, I feel like these numbers are so tight. I actually really do like the over, so I'm excited about that.
Well, this will be the biggest weekend. This is the best weekend of the year in football, with four divisional games and the national title game in college. But our biggest decision is going to be this college game. It's going to be bigger than all the NFL games. We'll need Clemson pretty huge. And we'll probably need them even more if all four of those favorites do win over the weekend in NFL. You can only imagine the parlays that are going to run to LSU in that scenario.
I actually do have an open teaser with LSU, because I knew the line would go up, so I grabbed it.
That'll be big. I mean,
I was trying to get a middle. I'm hoping it hits 7, because I think it will hit 7. May not close 7, but I do think it hits 7.
Right. Do you? If all the favorites win over the weekend, I wouldn't count it out as not being possible, because I see these parlay bets. They're coming across my ticker all day. Niners, Ravens, Chiefs, LSU, all variations like that. Everything that carries to the weekend is going to go to LSU on Monday night.
Exciting times. Exciting times. All right, Murray, thanks so much as always, my friend.
All right, talk next week.
This has been Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
Pay that man his money.
Time now to bring in Matt Humans of VSIN. Matt, and also Daily Wager. How are you, sir?
Hey, doing great today, man. I've been a little bit disturbed in the past 24 hours by, you know, the news that the royal family's all broken up, but I'll get over it.
I know. It is earth-shattering news, but we'll all find a way to get over it. So, well played. So let's talk.
Forge ahead, Doug. I'm going to forge ahead and try to focus on sports and continue to do my job this week, but it's going to be tough.
I remember doing radio a long time ago with you, and Twitter was relatively new, and you were just kind of like absorbing it all in, right? This novelty, and you would just shake your head. You're like, what the Justin Bieber has millions of followers. You're just so flabbergasted by all these celebrities. At least he's a performer, but some of these other random celebrities like the Kardashians, and you're like, why do these people care?
Yeah, there's a lot of idiots out there, I guess. I mean, I've never understood the fascination with the royal family, with the Kardashians, Michael Jackson, things like that. But that's a different subject altogether.
Yeah, and some people would say they don't understand sports, and so be it. We do. We love it, and we love betting on sports. And we have one final game here, and many don't understand why Clemson's such a big underdog. And my counter to be that, go bet it. You're welcome to go grab the points. All these people are saying the line's too high, it's disrespectful, and I just say, all right, then go fire on Clemson.
And, you know, plenty of people will. I know right. I know plenty of sharp bettors who are going to fire on Clemson, but, you know, how high is this number going to get? And that's the question. I think you have to wait through the weekend to find out. You know, yesterday, Tony Miller at Golden Nugget went to 6.5 on the game. He was the first guy in the Vegas market to move to 6.5. And, you know, that tells you he's not too far away from 7, because a lot of the action on this game Monday night is going to come in after people bet the playoff games in the NFL this weekend. And, you know, I talked to a major Vegas bookmaker a week ago. He said, no way this game gets to 7. I wouldn't say no way at this point.
I think it does. I think it will.
Right. I do, too, at this point. Because, you know, you talk to John Murray of the Westgate. I've talked to other bookmakers around town. Dollars wagered at this point, it's a 10-to-1 ratio almost at some books. Actually, more than 10-to-1 at some books. I'm saying an average of about 8-to-1 to 10-to-1 on LSU dollars at this point. And I just think it's going to be more LSU money after the betting public plays the NFL playoffs this weekend.
Right. Well said. So the ratio is not going to be too much different. And so for them to expect all of a sudden to become 10-to-3 or whatever. Now, I understand sharps are waiting in the weeds and going to pounce at some point when they think the market is stabilizing if they like Clemson. But there are also people who still like LSU who are going to want action on the game. National championship game, i.e. the public and the rec bettors, are going to want to fire on LSU. And we know from experience, whether it be Mayweather-McGregor and all these other things, that at some point these books are going to have to not have a position and want to minimize risk. And they're going to have to get off the numbers because the suit's upstairs, not necessarily the bookmakers or the odds makers, but they're going to have to minimize their liability. And to do that, they're going to have to go to 7, and that's going to be the end point. Now, it may come back to 6.5, but I think it'll hit 7. And because of everything I'm hearing and something you've been reporting, is this is going to be the biggest college football game ever bet.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be the biggest bet college football game ever, no doubt about it. You know, and I think we're going to continue to say that pretty much year after year because sports betting just continues to grow and the handle is going to get bigger and bigger. But, you know, this game has everything you could ever want. I mean, you've got the number one pick in the 2020 draft, Joe Burrow, the number one pick in the 2021 draft, Trevor Lawrence. You know, a defending champ on a 29-game win streak. I mean, I could go on and on. Everybody knows the storylines with this game. So it's really appealing. It's got star power. It appeals to the betting public. Well, this is going to be a monster. I think the guys at Caesars, Jeff Davis, said 2 weeks ago the Ohio State-Clemson game had a bigger handle than any NFL game this season. I mean, think about that. And this game's going to top Ohio State-Clemson. So it's, you know, it's not going to approach Super Bowl-type wagering, but this is going to, because you're not going to have the, you know, same number of props. And,
right.
For obvious reasons, but it's still the biggest bet college football game ever. Is, you know, if you have a 7-to-1 ratio on LSU money, yes, this number is going to get to 7 at some point. And I don't think it closes there. I think the number closes 6 or 6.5 because there's going to be a lot of sharp money on Clemson to come this weekend and by Monday before kickoff.
I would agree there. I think there's going to be late buyback, and, you know, kind of like we saw with the LSU Oklahoma line when it hit 14, came down, crashed at 12.5. Now, some of that was maybe the news of the OC losing his daughter-in-law, and who knows, right? That could be just perfect sort of confirmation bias on that. But anyways, I like the over. I've told you that. I've told Murray that. I had to write about it for ESPN Chalk. It's rare. Matt, you always tease me that I usually like an NBA game the day of these national championship games or Super Bowls, that I'm always like watching, you know, some random second half play. But I actually do like a play finally on a championship game, and it's the over. I think the fast track will lend itself and help both offenses. What's your opinion?
Yeah, the Fiesta Bowl was a fast track, but it was an ice rink. And, you know, you saw players slipping all over the field, and we were watching, a group of us were all watching that game, and I said, this is ridiculous. You know, you got players falling over. How can you play a college football semifinal game on a field like this where you got players falling all over the place, slipping? So, you know, I know you've talked about that too. So that's going to be part of your handicap, I think, on the total. I'm not betting under here. And, you know, I know it's a sharp thing to say that you like the under and you see value in the under and under on the props, but I don't. I don't see it here. I think, you know, I like Clemson in the game, partly because I do think there's going to be value in the number at 6.5. Or 7, whatever you can get. You know, if you think about early December, the look-ahead line, and depending on who you talk to, the look-ahead line was either Clemson -1.5, Clemson -3, LSU -1, whatever it was nothing close to LSU -6.5 or 7. So I'm going to be on Clemson as far as the side. I'm not planning on playing the total, but I would not play it under. I think this is, you know, you get Brent Venables and Dabo Swinney a couple weeks to prepare for the LSU offense. And I think Joe Burrow is going to have a tougher time, much tougher time than he's had. And don't forget, LSU did not steamroll every opponent it faced this year. You know, the LSU beat Auburn 23-20. There were some games where, you know, the Clemson coaches can go back and look and see what worked. Or maybe there was just, a couple games where the LSU offense was a little bit off. But, you know, Brent Venables might be the best in the business. He's got the personnel, I think, to throw some looks at Joe Burrow he hasn't seen. Clemson's got DBs that can, you know, match up reasonably well with the LSU wideouts. Still not a great matchup. I still expect a lot of points in this game. Once these teams start trading shots, it could get out of control. So, you know, live betting is something you want to watch. I wouldn't be surprised if this game gets off to a little bit of a slow start because the team's had, you know, 2 weeks between games. Actually, it's like 15 or 16 days between games. And they're going to be a little bit tight, you know, on this big stage and all the hype for Monday night. So I wouldn't be surprised if the game got off to a little bit of a slow start. But once these teams start trading shots, like I said, it could turn into a real shootout. I've got Clemson winning the game 35-34, but like I said, I'm not betting under. I've looked at the props for Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrow, and there's no way I'm going to bet under on those numbers because I still think it's more likely that you have a game that gets into the 80s than, you know, everybody's shocked because the game ends up 27-24. I can't see that happening.
I'm with you. And there's the overtime option, too. That's in play here. Not that you should handicap over or bet over unders accordingly, but, you know, this game, like you said, it could get really moving.
I mean, there are a lot of reasons to think it can, right? I mean, both these teams are going to throw a lot. And then you saw the slow start Clemson got off to against Ohio State and still put 29 points on the board. So what makes you think Clemson's going to be held below 30 in this game? I don't. Like I said, I've got Clemson 35-34. LSU could win the game 38-34. Who knows? I don't care as long as Clemson covers the 6 or 7 points.
Now, you say 35. That means 5 touchdowns and no field goals. You don't think Dabo's going to try another 49-yard field goal in the opening drive?
I would hope not. This is not a game where field goals are going to win it for you, and I think you got to coach aggressively. I pretty much always feel that way, unless you have Justin Tucker and a great defense. I hate field goals. John Murray and I think along the same lines as far as this goes. Kicking is for losers. I hate kicking. I could sit here and talk about 10 games I've watched in the last 2 weeks where I've been annoyed by coaches to send out a kicker in a certain situation. I think these coaches both understand you need touchdowns to win this game. It's not going to be a field goal kicking contest.
Yeah, that was – they're learning. It's good. It's Rome wasn't built in a day, my friend. Rome was not built in a day. But, all right, good stuff as always, Matt. Appreciate you taking the time, and I will connect with you on Daily Wager in the next day or so.
Okay, you bet. Thanks, Doug.
That guy is kryptonite on a stick.
Travis, Ohio State's blowing the game. You're kryptonite.
It wasn't targeting, Doug. I'm telling you.
That's fair. That is fair. A lot of questionable calls in that one. A lot of questionable calls in every game. Hopefully.
Spoiler alert, here in the fourth quarter, they're going to have another blown call.
Hopefully the playoffs will not be ruined this week, and hopefully the national championship game will not be ruined. Do you have a pick in this game? And you can't choose Ohio State.
I keep going back and forth. I think it's going to be a game time decision. I said going into it, the winner of Clemson Ohio State would win. And
you
I still
did.
Kind of feel that way, but I wonder if LSU learned a lot from Ohio State because LSU got beat up. Hmm. And can LSU replicate that? Grant Delpit.
Clemson got beat up.
Clemson got beat up. Can Grant Delpit and that defense replicate that? And then what can Joe Burrow do?
Look, Ohio State dominated the trenches. I'm a little worried about that for my overplay, but I do think there's ways to counter that. Like you chip block a little bit, you do, you know, quicker throws, slants, all that. So.
So do you want to talk NFL?
All right. Do you like any NFL plays?
I'm just hoping that we can get a weekend like last weekend. I know like necessarily the play wasn't great, but you had drama.
You had major drama. It was awesome.
And that's all I want. And the thing is I don't care who wins. The Patriots are out, so like I can now just like breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can just enjoy the games for what they are. And so I just want action. Bet the over.
Bet the over on everything?
Yeah. Okay. Why not? Makes it easier to root.
All right, my man. Good stuff. Thanks to everyone. Hope your 2020 is off to a good start. And we'll have a NFL-only podcast with maybe a little hoops next week.